Not too long ago, I was stuck in a purposeless job, drained from 50-plus hour work weeks and browsing job boards with no clue what I was looking for. Fast forward past a huge breakthrough in self-discovery, and you'll see the life I have today. One filled with meaningful, energizing work that I absolutely love. I created the Career Clarity Unlocked podcast to give you actionable advice and help you find a career that energizes you and fills you with meaning and purpose. If you're a woman ready to transition into a fulfilling career that realizes your full potential and fills you with joy, then you're exactly where you need to be. Let's dive in. Welcome back to Career Clarity Unlocked. I'm Teresa White, and I'm so excited to have with me today Anna Gaynor. Anna is a former career coach and HR professional turned career well-being strategist. After a successful decade in corporate America, Anna faced burnout and serious health issues. This personal struggle led her to a transformative journey where she learned to prioritize her well-being and becoming an advocate for work-life harmony, boundaries, and flexibility at work. Anna's work has been featured in Time Magazine, Fast Company, HuffPost, LinkedIn News, and more. Today, Anna provides actionable strategies to help professionals prioritize well-being and maintain work-life harmony with less hustle. I'm so excited to welcome my friend, Anna Gaynor.
Hi.
Great to have you, Anna.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I love that intro.
You're so welcome. And it's always such a pleasure to have you and chat with you. And as always, I would love to start off with your sparkotype, Anna. I know you've taken the assessment, I think, about a year and a half ago. Mm-hmm. Yes. Can you share with us what your sparkotype profile is or what your results were?
So my primary is the Sage, which we'll talk more about later, but it was life-changing for me. My shadow is the Maven.
Yes.
Did I say, yeah? And my anti-sparkotype is the Warrior.
Thanks for sharing that. So for our audience, if you're not familiar with the sparkotype assessment, I highly recommend taking it. It is a free 10-minute assessment that you can take on sparkotype.com. And as Anna said, it's really life-changing. Mm-hmm. To give a little bit more background, so the Sage, Anna's primary, Sages are all about awakening inside. Your Sage impulse is to illuminate, teach, and elevate. You live to share insights, ideas, knowledge, and experiences with others in a way that leaves them in some way better, wiser, and more equipped to experience life differently. I would love to hear from you, Anna, how that feels. Is that accurate, useful? Does it resonate?
When I took the sparkotype assessment, I was working with Teresa. Yeah, we're friends, but I was also her client. And to me, when I learned the whole Sage, the whole awakening inside, when I read those words, they made me cry. They were life-changing because I finally understood what was missing in my life. Or, you know, why every time in every single job I had, and I've been working since I was a teenager full-time in corporate, I used to work, you know, I work in Brazil before I even worked in the U.S., and I always had this, it was always around communication. Some job that I have had always had to be that component of communication, teaching, sharing knowledge with people. I always had this thing. So going back a long time ago, my first job was in a newspaper, a local newspaper in my hometown in Brazil. And I learned so much in that job. I used to be, you know, at that time, I used to be responsible for the classifieds, you know, pages and also subscriptions and different things. But I always wanted the piece, like the written part, like how do you put the whole text together and all of that. So I learned. I wasn't a journalist. I'm not a reporter or a journalist, but that career path was always in the back of my mind. And it's also like radio and TV. That's why I love doing this, what we're doing right now, because I grew up going to the radio with my mom and seeing and watching how that whole thing worked in my hometown. And like I said, there was always some sort of component of teaching, sharing information, sharing knowledge, communication. My second job was in a magazine, you know, in Brazil, before I came to the US. And all my jobs in the US, there were some sort of component. In my last corporate job, you know, it was an HR job, but I had a lot of communication and insights that I had to share. And I would send out communication to, you know, thousands of employees and things like that. So there was always that piece of me trying to give people the step by step. How do you do this? So I remember creating guides and things like that, because I always wanted to people to get something out of information, because information, it's everywhere. Information is free. But for me, I want to share something with you and I wanted to get it. I wanted to be open to receive the knowledge and I want to awake something in you. It could be, you know, why you haven't asked for flexibility at work yet? Why haven't you set boundaries at work? Why aren't you not taking care of your well-being, you know? And so there's always these different bits and pieces that goes back since the beginning of my career. And, you know, it goes back many years ago, even in school. I can say that this, I've always been drawn to learning things and trying to pass that knowledge to other people, to awake their insights, to, you know, as a sage, right? Like to just, I want them to get something out of everything I'm teaching, I'm doing, I'm talking about. So when I had the assessment and I read the inside, the awakening inside, I was like, oh my gosh, that's it.
It's beautiful to hear that, Anna. And it's so visible how you light up when you talk about it. Mm-hmm. And I think anyone who's listening in and shares the sage as a primary spark type can so relate to not just having that impulse to wanting to teach, but to for others to really get it and have that light bulb moment or mm-hmm. that it resonates and that really lands with them and it impacts them in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, if you take one tiny piece of something that I share and that kind of lights you up or that like turns a light on and you think, oh, I can do this different or I can try that. Why haven't I done that? Or, you know, I need to think about that, you know, something that I never taught before. So this is the point for me, like always trying to get people to take the little steps, the little actions.
I love that, Anna. And you already touched on your shadow. So your shadow is archetype is the maven. For our audience who are not familiar with that, mavens are all about learning. You have a lifelong desire to learn, to know, to keep going, to become wiser. You're fueled by a new primal drive to know more. And throughout sharing some of your professional background, you already touched on that. Can you share a little bit more how you feel about your shadow spark type being the maven and how that resonates with you?
Yeah, like a funny thing. I can probably count in one hand how many fiction books I've read in my life. That tells you that for me, I love learning, but learning, and there's nothing wrong with fiction because you can learn from fiction too, right? It's more like I always need to be learning something that, you know, hence like the library section that I usually, you're going to find me if you go to a library, it's going to be business, career, you know, maybe health. I love learning about something. That's how I feel like I'm broadening my knowledge. I'm becoming who I want to be, which means in order for me to teach somebody, in order for me to awaken the insight, I need to know what I'm talking about. And that sometimes is like is this thirst for knowledge that is never ending, that feels like it's never enough. So I'm always, it's a little funny, but I'm always consuming podcasts, live events, webinars, trainings, reading books, like, this is kind of my life. So I like to say that for the last 16 years, which has been the amount of time I've been living in the United States, for the last 16 years, I've been my own career coach. Even though I wasn't even in the career space before, I learned so much about it, just like applying to myself, that I started like helping other people without even thinking about, you know, becoming a coach or being in the career space, because I felt like I always had that desire. I need to learn how to write a resume. I'm in a different country. I need to find ways, since I can't afford somebody, I need to find ways myself. So yeah, I spent a lot of time in the library learning all sorts of things, and that, you know, just kept growing from there. And today it's like, yeah, like I have a ton of career podcasts, you know, in my podcast feed. I have a lot of books and things that I love consuming. But I'll say this, I love consuming, but it's all intentional. For me, I'm a kind of person that always asks myself, and about, you know, lots of things in my life, what's the point? What's the intention behind it? What's the purpose? Because this thirst for knowledge sometimes can backfire, in a sense that I might feel like it's never enough, right? Like I'm learning, and it feels like it's never enough. But, you know, sometimes you need to give yourself a break, or sometimes you need to give yourself grace and understand that it's enough. I already know enough. I can get out there and talk about it. I don't need to keep like learning every single detail, because that comes. The thing about my primary and my shadow is that both share the perfectionist. And I am a perfectionist. So that's the thing. Like, oh, I want to teach, but it has to be perfect. Oh, I want to acquire knowledge, but oh, it's never enough. So you're always in that pursuit of knowledge. And that can be, you know, that can be like in the pursuit of knowledge. In your mind, you might think, oh, that's in the pursuit of greatness. But it's like, you don't need that. It's already enough. You know, I mean, I love both. Don't get me wrong. I love being a sage and having the sage and the maven. But at the same time, I know I get into, and that can lead to procrastination too, right? Like I need to keep acquiring knowledge, and I need to keep sharing, I need to keep doing this. And next thing you know, it's like you're not doing the things that you have to do or that you want to do, because you just feel like you need to keep learning more.
Oh my God, I cannot, I have a feeling that this very much resonates with many, many of the mavens in this world. And if you resonate with what Anna is saying and you have this lifelong desire to learn, maybe you're a maven as well. If you haven't taken the assessment yet, if you haven't, it's highly recommended that you head over to sprachetype.com and take the sprachetype assessment. Let's also talk a moment for you about your anti-sprachetype. And when we talk about an anti-sprachetype, there's something really important to know. The sprachetype assessment doesn't tell us what we're good and bad at. It tells us what energizes us, what makes us come alive. And it's very clear when we hear you talking, Anna, of how sharing knowledge and acquiring knowledge makes you come alive. For our anti, it does not mean we're bad at it, or we cannot do that work, or we shouldn't do that work. It says that this is a heavier lift for us. It is more draining. And we can be really, really good at the work of our anti, but if we do it all day, every day, it's going to be taking a lot of energy out of us. So in your case, Anna, your anti is the warrior, which the warrior, they are people who love to bring people together, lead them on a quest, journey, or endeavor. And that your results suggest that this is draining you and takes energy out of you, and you might prefer to be invited along or to participate when someone else has gathered people together and someone else has set the course or has taken that leadership role, and you can participate in that. I wonder how that resonates with you.
Yeah, I love to support and collaborate with people. As I like to say, I am the person that, you know, I want to lead you by being the one putting my hand on your back and being there for you, rather than being the one that always has to be in front of you. So when I learned about the anti-sprachetype, I was like, yeah, it makes sense, because this is really part of who I am. I am the one who wants to support you and be right there by your side. I'm not the one who has to be you know, always in front of you, always, you know, better, always, you know, and I know that's not necessarily what it means, but it's more like this whole idea of having to gather people. And I can think of examples. Let's say, my whole life, I always had different groups of people for different interests, for different, you know, different walks of life. Some people from elementary school, some people I met in college. And whenever I tried to bring them together, it was always very hard for me because I knew it's like, oh, so-and-so might not like this and that. And it's always being very hard because it doesn't come natural. You know, it's not a natural thing that I do. It's like, okay, let me bring everybody together. I'm more like, okay, I just want to be a part of the group. It's not like I cannot leave because I do believe, I firmly believe in what I'm going to say right now. We are all leaders in our own way. We're all leading every single day. You have to make a decision that whatever decision you make, it might impact you, it might impact somebody else. So I feel like we're always leading something, right? And as a business owner, I feel like I do this every single day. And I do a lot of things that I have to somehow bring people together and all of that in my own ways. But let's say if I have to be the one leading, it's like, okay, let's bring these two completely different opposite groups together and try to, this has always been a little hard for me. So that makes total sense when I learned that was my anti, because yeah, I'm more like, okay, this is the group, as I like to call, you know, my people, we are the quiet achievers. It doesn't mean that you are an introvert necessarily. I am. But it doesn't mean that you are an introvert, but it's more like you're smart, you're talented, you like to get things done, but you don't like to draw too much attention to yourself at work. Let's say you don't want to be the one that gets praised all the time in front of everybody, or a lot of times you're doing a lot of things behind the scenes that are not even being seen, right? But, you know, those are my people. So it's like, okay, if that resonates with you, then like you're in, you know, you're a part of my community, the career achievers, the career well-being, the quiet achievers. But if I have to get people who all they think about, for example, it's all about how to be more productive, you know, and try to kind of change or, you know, inciting them this idea that you don't have to be productive all the time. It's okay to rest, it's okay to relax, it's okay to think about your well-being. It might be a clash. It might be something that I might have a hard time doing because it's not like I'm trying to change people's opinions by any means, but it's like you're trying to gather the people so you can lead them. For me, it's always easy if you already have, okay, this is what I want, so this is my group, instead of trying to like gather the people and put them together. I don't know if it makes sense what I'm trying to say, but
it does. It does, Anna. And I really appreciate your honesty of you can be you are an amazing leader, and you're right. Everyone is a leader in their own way. And the warrior is your anti does not mean you cannot or you shouldn't be a leader. You lead differently. It doesn't come naturally to you to gather people and lead that group, being that front of that group and leading them on a path. You could do it if you needed to, but it is not what you enjoy doing. It drains your energy. But I love that you're tapping into that leading from, you said, the hand on your back. That's such a beautiful way to look at it. And I wonder if you also really tap into the sage when you think about yourself as a leader of the way I lead is by sharing knowledge with others and empowering others.
Yes. So before being a career well-being strategist, before that I was in HR. Before that I was in project management. So like I have different professions throughout my more than 10 years, you know, career in the United States. And after my HR, I became a career coach, and I did that for a couple of years. And that was more into, you know, the sage and like the teaching. But after working with you, I came to realize that what made me come alive was whenever I was doing exactly what we're doing right now, just talking, trying to teach somebody being featured in different publications, just to have my word, like I always, since I was younger, I always loved that idea, especially because I work in a newspaper, so I kind of magazine too. I had that idea of how cool that is. But for me, it's more like because I want more people to get the word. That's the thing. Like for me, it's spreading the word. So I came to the realization that coaching, it wasn't for me anymore because it just led me to something different. The more I work with people, the more I realized that I wanted to be a leader, but in a sense that I want to share knowledge, I want to share information with everybody, with the masses. I don't want to do just with one person, the ones who can afford or the ones who decide that. Because sometimes, and you know this, you know, people don't know they have a problem and don't want to invest or don't want, you know, there's a lot of objections before they even take a step. So I just thought that for me, the best thing to do would be, I'm just going to be sharing my knowledge online. I'm going to be on podcasts. I'm going to be on featured in different places. I'm going to have digital products. I'm going to be doing live trainings in the future. That's what I want to do because for the people I want to serve, I want to serve them in a way that I want to meet them where they are, meaning sometimes they still need that awakening to understand. They still need some sort of awareness. They are in their awareness phase, but they need more things that I think I am more able to give them with my writing, with my appearances, with live events, Q&A. I have a newsletter and people can reach out to me with questions anytime they want, and they do. And that's more of a line of communication that I want to have with people rather than for me. And this is for me. This is what works for me. Rather than having them in a coaching, you know, program necessarily. So for me, it's like, yes, I am going to give you actionable strategies. And like I said, you can send me messages if you want. It's not necessarily going to be, I'm not going to be coaching you one-on-one into a program that I have, but I can give you some advice to maybe move the needle a little bit, that you can take at least one action. Because sometimes I notice this, if you give somebody like 10 steps, like 10 actions that you need to take one after another, sometimes they stop in the first one because thinking about the 10 steps, they just don't want to go through it. So for me, after working with you, like together, we came to the realization that what made me come alive was more like having my own thing, my own way of communication, right? Meaning podcast appearances, live events, affordable digital products, a blog, a newsletter. Those are the things that make me come alive more than coaching specific, you know, people, whoever can afford it, all these different things. And I'm saying this because growing up, I always had this desire, this thirst for knowledge, but I didn't have any resources. I grew up, you know, I had no resources. I couldn't take classes. I couldn't take courses. I couldn't do anything. I just went to college because I got a free ride. So it's like, it's that lack of way for paying, you know, I just didn't have the means to pay for things. That kind of drives what I do today. Meaning for me, even if you, you know, don't buy anything for me, at least you get some of my blog posts, you get my newsletters, you get something from me that it might awaken your insight. You might think differently about asking for flexibility at work, setting a boundary with your tasks. This, or thinking about your well-being, like, why do you need to be working on weekends? Like, maybe you shouldn't be doing this, you know, just giving them like these different ideas of things that they can start to implement today. So
thank you for sharing that, Anna. And it sounds like before we started working together, before you took the Sparketype assessment, that you're a sage through and through. You love learning and then you love sharing all this knowledge with others. And that as being a career coach, some of that was stifled because you wanted to reach more people and you wanted to awaken insight in more people and you wanted to make this accessible to everyone and to really have people get it and really share that knowledge with others. And having that in a very limited way of being a coach, working one-on-one with people and only people who can afford it, must have felt stifling to that impulse of sharing your knowledge with others.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing is, and I want to make clear, sometimes it's not because somebody invests, let's say, in a 1 hour call with you, that they are actually, they are in a state or in a place that they actually want to implement the things that you have to say to them. So for me, if I'm awakening inside, if I'm sharing things with you and I, you know, I really wanted to get it, but if you're not open to get that, to at least be open to understand that knowledge or to kind of be open to the idea of maybe changing something, then that doesn't work. And I remember working with people who, unfortunately, they were not ready. They were not ready to implement the changes that had to be implemented for them to get out of a toxic work environment, for example. It was always like this idea that everywhere is going to be bad, that the next boss is going to be the same, that the colleagues are going to be the same, even though they were suffering every single day going to work. But they want it, but at the same time, they didn't have what it took to like make the change, like to really like take the steps, everything. There was always an excuse to not do something. And that was a problem because I realized that I was attracting and falling more into like the same thing, that people who like, they think as a coach, you're going to be taking the actions for them, which as a coach, you really, that's not the case. You are guiding them, but they are the ones doing the work. So I feel like sometimes people don't get this idea. And when they take longer to get results than somebody else, they just don't understand that piece. And sometimes it's like, if you are investing, you have to be invested for the work to work, right? So I was really suppressing this desire that I had to share more knowledge with more people, with, you know, broader, you know, it's just, I just wanted my word to be out there in a way that would benefit more people, especially people who couldn't afford or maybe people who didn't even understand how, you know, something could help them. And a lot of the work I do is related to career well-being, which is you care for your health and well-being as much as you care for your career. You are choosing intentionally. It's like, yeah, I am going to take care of my health because my health is important. I'm going to add more movement into my day. I'm going to add hobbies and interests. I'm going to add boundaries, say no to work or block my calendar, not work on weekends, take more time off, ask for flexibility or find a job that has some sort of flexibility. These are all things, you know, targeted job search, you know, these are all things that I talk about because I know there are a lot of people out there when you tell them a targeted job search, like what is even a targeted job search? They don't get it. But then as you start peeling the layers, then they understand why it matters, why it's important. Finding a positive work environment. Yes, those places exist. But it's all about your values, your intention, your purpose, all these different things that you want to do for your career. But at the same time, it's like, are you even going to see a doctor once a year? Are you really taking care of your health? Are you moving? Are you adding exercise into your days? Are you trying to eat healthily? Like there's all these different things that I feel like are also important. Because I'll say this, and I'll say this over and over again. If you're not well, if you're not healthy, there's something going on, you have lingering pain, mental health is not good, you are not going to be a top performer for the long run. Your body, and this happened to me, your body is going to force you to take a break. And it's going to be in a very inconvenient time. That's why I do the work I do today, because I also want to put that in the back, you know, mind of people like, yeah, rest, take a break, take time off, go see your doctor, add more movement to your day, maybe go just find different ways to take care of yourself. Because if you don't do that, nobody is looking out for you. I am sorry to say this, but I think it's important to understand that nobody's looking out for you, not your manager, not your company, no one. And this is what happens in companies a lot of times. Like you are a top performer, you're doing all the things right, and it's still companies, they, you know, there's mergers, acquisitions all the time. Next thing you know, you lose your job. And what are you going to do? And it has nothing to do with poor performance or anything like that. But you worked really hard, and now you have to deal with the layoff, and now you have all sorts of mental and physical issues going on. That's what I want to incite into people's minds, the importance of taking care of themselves too. Because we live in a world that it's always talking about being more productive, adding more, finding ways to tackle like the 20 things you have on your to-do list. And I feel like, yeah, I used to be that person. I was that person for many, many years in my life. My to-do list had 20 different things, and I was going over the entire to-do list. And I feel like if all you want is all about being more productive and adding more things to your day, it's like, for me, it's like, how can you hustle less? Like, you don't want to be hustling all the time. This whole idea of be hustling, that's going to catch up with you at some point. That's why I feel like, and that's in the work that I do, these are some of the things that I teach. These are some of the things that I talk about, because I live this experience, and I know other people who have lived the same experience. So this is what I talk about. This is what I do. If you are coming to me thinking that I'm going to give you like the 20 ways, hacks to be more productive, to add more into your day, if you're going to add more, add things that bring you joy. Add a dance class, add an art class, add time with your family, add things that will bring you joy. Don't keep adding things that is going to suck the life out of you, because you're just working more and more and more in things that you don't really like, you know? So
it's so beautiful to see how it's so clear that this is what you're meant to do, Anna. You are meant to do to share this super important message with the world of how important our well-being is, and that our career is not the only thing that matters. And I'm a very career-driven person, so I am definitely fall into the category of tending to hustle more and adding more things to do my to-do list. But it's so important to have that reminder that we also need to care for ourselves, because if we don't, it will impact our health, our mental health, our physical health, and that eventually will impact our career, or our body will set a hard stop of this was it. We need a change. So it's so important that you're sharing this knowledge with the world. And there was one thing you said in the earlier, in that last part, was that prior to taking the Sparkotype assessment and as a career coach, you always felt that you had to suppress your desire. And I relate to that so much. In my old career, I felt like there was something more I needed to do. There was something else. I didn't know exactly what that was, but there was a part of me that was suppressed. Mm-hmm. And that feels incredibly stifling. And for you, that was that aha, I think it was that aha moment of like, the work of the sage is what I'm meant to do. And currently I'm suppressing this desire and I'm not fulfilled. And how can I find a way to have to do work where I get to live out this desire and don't have to suppress that any longer? How has that impacted you personally from going to suppress the desire and now really leaning into it and sharing that important message with the world? How has that made a difference for you in your life?
Sure. So before we go there, I just wanted to say that shedding the corporate identity, when I was still in HR and then I decided to quit my job based on, you know, I wanted to do something different. So I already had this plan. I was already doing some career coaching on the side, but also had my health issues and my things going on. I feel like trying to shed that identity of I've been the corporate girl for more than 10 years and now I'm going to be doing something on my own and I don't know how that's going to go. So that took me about 6 months to really understand the shift that was going on. But that was really like a very, you know, introspective time that I feel like I'm always all about like self-discovery. And I think that's very important. Then I really got into the whole career thing, the career coaching and all of that, took a lot of trainings and did a lot of different things in this space. But there, I always felt like there was something missing. And that was another process. Okay, it's going to be hard to say former career coach, for example, because it's like, yeah, in many ways, I can, I still coaching. But I'm not coaching, like I don't have a program. I don't do, you know, one-on-one coaching. I don't guide people through a coaching program, for example. So that's part of the reason why I don't call myself coach anymore. I used to do that before. But it's, again, shedding that identity is always hard, because being a coach is in many ways being a sage too. Right. But for me, I had to go deeper. I had to go deeper in a way that I didn't want to be one-on-one. I wanted to be one to many. I want to reach more people in any way I can. And it doesn't mean like I want to be famous or anything like that. It's more like I want my message to be seen and heard for those who really need it. For those who really, they, you know, like when somebody does or says something for, you know, it, some random day, and you're like, oh, this is exactly what I needed to hear. That's what I want to do. I want to be that relief or that motivation or inspiration that comes to you. And it's like, oh, this is really good. This is what I needed to hear today. Or this is what I needed to be thinking about. This is what I want to do with my work. I felt limited by doing one-on-one coaching, because again, it's like it's a specific group of people, you know, they have to be able to afford, they have to invest in the whole thing and take time out of their day to actually do the work. And I do think the coaching process is beautiful. I mean, we work together, I work with other people. I've been taking a coaching program as we speak now for something else, but it's for self-care actually. And I'm already a self-care coach, but I'm taking one for myself. I think coaches need coaches too, right? It's always important to be seeking knowledge, you know? Yeah. It's not because I'm a sage maven, but I do think it's important to be seeking knowledge. But as now that I'm doing something different, I can see the shift. I can structure my days better in the way I do things, in the things I want to do, when I want to do them, when I want to take coffee chats, you know, calls, when I want to take collaboration calls, when it's just it's a different process. I don't have to be scheduling calls all the time with different people and trying to guide them through a process. For me, it's more like, hey, this is what I have to share. If you can get one thing out of everything I have to share, amazing. Like if I can change, you know, one thing with my words or with something that I'm saying or something that I'm writing or a video that I put out there, this is kind of what I want. This is how I want to touch people.
I love that, Anna. And it's so clear that you are living that desire that's been in you this whole time, and that you're so driven to put out a message that hopefully gets seen and heard by those who need it. For those in the audience who want to hear and see the messages you're putting out in the world and all the advice you're sharing on career well-being, boundaries at work, and finding more flexibility at work, where can they find that?
So I'm very active on LinkedIn. So you can follow me, send me a DM, comment on my posts. I reply to all comments. You can also go to my website. I have free resources. I am going to have more free resources coming to you. I'm working on it. And more digital products in the future. But I have a lot of free resources. So let's start with the free stuff. But I would highly recommend that you join my free newsletter. That's how I talk to my dear, you know, community. And it goes out every Thursday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern time. And it's free. It's once a week. I'm not going to send you a lot of emails. It's once a week, every Thursday. And yeah, that's how you can get even more, you know, about me, but not just about me. It's more about career, well-being, job search, interview, all sorts of things career related. But also with a well-being, you know, with a well-being kick there.
I love your newsletter, Anna. So for anyone who is not in her community yet and wants to learn more about career well-being, definitely go to annagainer.com to subscribe to your newsletter. And I'm going to share your LinkedIn one more time here. It is LinkedIn at LinkedIn Anna Gainer. And highly recommend following Anna. She is, you're just incredible in putting so much valuable information out there that is so, so, so very needed in this world. As we're coming to the end of this podcast, what is one thing that you want to leave our listeners with?
The one thing I want to say is self-discovery is essential. If you want anything you want to do in your career, since we're talking about careers here, it's a career podcast, the first step is clarity. And I'm not saying this because Teresa is a clarity coach. I'm saying this from my own experiences. And that's when I say that the self-discovery process is part of the clarity piece. And before you just run into a job board and apply to a job or like try to figure out what you want to do next, it's important to understand who you are, how you like to work, what are your values, what are your priorities. Those things are important, because if you don't do this, you are going to end up going from job to job facing the same issues. I, again, talking this from my own experience, because before I didn't know any of these things and now I do. And they really helped me come alive and understand what I was supposed to do with my life and my career. And I'll say this, I couldn't be happier.
That is amazing, Anna. That is such a wonderful note to leave off our amazing conversation today. And for all listeners, you really deserve to be happy and as happy and as fulfilled in your career as Anna is today. And that self-discovery is such an important piece of that. On that note, I have a masterclass coming up next week on Monday, where I'm going to be sharing the exact steps to take to find a career that makes you this happy and this alive and this fulfilled. So if you have not signed up, now is the time to head over to careerbloomcoaching.com/masterclass in RSVP for the free class, Get Clear on Your Career. I'm going to be sharing 90 minutes of actionable advice and how to find a career that truly resonates with who you are. Thank you, Anna, so much for being here for today. I really enjoyed this conversation, and thank you everyone for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.